Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 160, part 1, Knowing Yourself. Today is Friday, August 13th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. You know, Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota because there are no boundaries. Located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665, Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. And you can also shop Pastor Paul's mall online if you're living in the Southwest United States at Vons.com. So you can pick up some groceries through Pastor Paul's mall at Vons.com. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can join our community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us online. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. You can email me, janine@pastorpaul.org, and at Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find scripture links to Pastor Paul's messages. You're going to be joining us two times a week minimum for Pastor Paul's podcast. Part one is always on Friday. Part two is on Sunday. That's the conclusion to his message. Also, join the Twitter Rumble, which is on Thursday. I am doing live tweets as I record Pastor Paul's pre-recorded message. So lots happening at pastorpaul.org. This month, the messages are the following. Deliver me from lying lips. Knowing yourself, halfway never makes it, can we boast of tomorrow? Great messages, timely messages. Join us here every week. Have a great month of August. God bless you.
Today's message is entitled, Knowing Yourself. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. That's out of Proverbs 14 and 10. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. Now we know there are millions of planets out there in the sky. We look up and say, I wonder if someone lives up there. Have you ever said that? I wonder what they're doing up there. I wonder if they have pollution on the planet Creton. I wonder if they're all mild-mannered like Clark Kent. I wonder if they have politicians. But we still never know because they are so far away. And it's the same with people. They all are like little micro worlds. You can never quite reach them. Little micro worlds, so close yet so far away. I mean, you can never really know each other. What does the world say? Well, it is a blessing in disguise. Oh, I believe this, if we know a great deal about each other, I think still much remains unknown to us, just like other planets. There is, the Bible says, a bitterness which each man feels alone, and a sweetness with which no one can intermeddle. Every one of you sitting in here today, including myself, everyone listening on the radio or to this tape, every man is self-contained, an individual. You have an individual heart that pumps, an individual lungs and liver. You're breathing, you're inhaling, and you're exhaling. You're all by yourself in it. Your eyes and your ears and your arms and your legs and your fingers and your toes and all work independently. That'd be like all of you here. One crosses their leg in that row over there, and then they all cross their leg. And that isn't the way it is. Each person is functioning individually and separately. Your thoughts and your likes, your dislikes, your loves and your hates, your passions and all of your other secrets all create your own heaven or your own hell. Your own joy or your own depression. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. Now you know your own bitterness. And a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. Again, Proverbs 14 and 10. And I believe there are bonds which unite us each one together, yet each man separate is separate like an atom. A little world with, let's say, moons of desires and passions orbiting around him. You have your own atmosphere around you. Well, you know when someone comes in and they have a bad atmosphere around them. Don't you? They sort of, well, he's going to come in, he's going to raise a stink. Uh-oh, here comes trouble. Or here comes joy, or here comes that person, and they have their own particular little atmosphere around them. So they wander in with their little atmosphere, and our little atmosphere is we wander in, and people sort of take on what we have. Sometimes they might even blame you for what they have. But anyway, we're little separate worlds, and we have influences over one another. Each one in here knows their own bitterness, and each one listening on the tape or to this radio program. You know your own joy. No one can intermeddle with that joy. No one can, you know, get in on your own bitterness. You know those things. But you are distinct. You have your own individuality and your own personality. Alone you are born but once, and you're going to die one at a time. All by yourself. You're born into this world all alone. Now, don't get melancholy and fall out on this. I'm getting to Jesus in this message. But you're born all alone, and you go through this world all alone, and you go through all the passions and desires and all the orbiting things that surround you, and atmospheres of trouble and woe and joy and struggle and strife and all of that, and no one can really know what you're going through inwardly. And you say, my God, doesn't anybody understand at all? Well, they understand in part, but no one can understand you at all because they don't understand themselves, don't you see? And though we shall stand with the great multitude before the throne of God, the judgment will be individually done and the sentence will come one at a time. Think about it. Not in relation to sin. See, God's already passed over that. Once you receive Christ, the sin question in your life is solved. But another heavy question will come to all of us: where were you when? What did you do in relation to love, and how much did you love the Lord in relation to you loved other things? Where were you when? When I asked you to do my work, when I had a work for you to do, and you said, but I must go back and bury so-and-so, or I have a few that I have to say goodbye to, and so on and so on. And oh, you were afraid of being a fanatic, were you? But where were you? You were fanatically doing your own thing. How about doing something for me? Where were you? Well, we didn't know you were any of these things. Well, there was a whole lot of people out there suffering. Couldn't you see it? Didn't you have, didn't you have ears and didn't you have eyes? Where were you when? And that's the judgment that's going to come. And it says in the Bible that the saved shall enjoy heaven and the unsaved shall grind their teeth in hell. That's bottom line, isn't it? See, we can't merge ourselves into one another. When you're sitting next to someone, you can't merge together. This is not a merger. You can't become, you can't merge together. Now, I'll tell you, that's a blessing. Because you have enough problems of your own. And nobody understands you completely. Nobody understands your bitterness. Why are you so bitter? Nobody understands your bitternesses, and even though we cover and gloss them over, they're there. And no one can understand your joy. They can't intermeddle into it. They can't enter into it all the way. Or mix ourselves, let's say, with a mass to cease to be an individual and to sort of crawl into the masses and disappear. No, you're still an individual in that mass. Well, you say, no, I think I could let somebody step on your toe. You're the only one that's going to yell, ouch! You're still an individual. You're going to go through this life as an individual. It says in the song, we must sail this ship alone. Isn't there a song like that? I'll sail this ship alone till heaven is my home. Huh? But you actually, and I'm talking about experiencing things, when it comes right down to it, you live, you are contained within that earthly tent. The Bible says every man shall bear his own burden. Galatians 6 and 5. Everything we don't surrender, we must carry. Like, let's say, spiritual bag ladies walking the streets, carrying all of our life on our backs. All of our mistakes and all of our defeats and all of our bitternesses, only we fully know, in part, I should say, we don't fully know them. All of our resentments and all of our selfishness and all of our sins, we carry them. Of course, the way out is to give your life to gain it. Give your life to gain it. Mine. If we would only learn that simple message, give your life to gain it. Well, if you have bitternesses, give those bitternesses up. Maybe you're bitter against someone in the church, or bitter against some friend, or whatever. And until you give that up, you will carry it. And you will be like the spiritual bag lady carrying these burdens around with yourself that God does not want you to carry. You bear that burden, let God give you a burden to bear and a yoke to put on. He'll be with you in that. And so it's decision time today, isn't it? It's, do you want to bear one another's burdens? Well, you take mine and I'll take yours. Maybe you'd be happy to get your own back. I don't know. Because we don't fully know what the other person is going through. How many are hearing this? But I think it's also an excellent way of to find out about yourself. Give your life to gain it. See, we don't die easy. Oh, no. No, no, no. We lay down, but we get up again. Don't we? We get up and we're alive and well and mean and bitter and whatever. And hey, oh, I decided I didn't want to die. I want to get up and I want to fight. See, the dying and the doing makes you appreciate what Jesus Christ has already done. But there's got to come a dying in the thing. Of course, we're unknown to others since we don't even fully know ourselves. Within ourselves lie many mysteries. Isn't that true? Have you been mystified by yourself many times? A lot of mysteries which we have never fully explored. But you know, the pressure and the trials and the tribulations and the embarrassments and the misunderstandings, that they all reveal and expose flaws in our character, but yet on the other hand, they help to build our character, if we'll allow it. Well, why are you so bitter? Well, I really don't know. Would you care to examine why you are so bitter? Well, don't look too closely at it, because it'll completely floor you, but just ask for a sneak preview. Now, you're reading the paper about this guy that he murdered his family and he did this and he did that. Well, you still can't judge him. You were not living inside of that man's body. You don't know what was going on. You don't know what the atmosphere was around him, or what demon power or what self-motivated power or what atmosphere he was living in, or how he was brought up, or how these things happened to him. And so the Bible tells us, judge ye not, lest ye be judged. In the same manner that you mete it out to others, so shall it be meted out to you. Now, that's a pretty hard word. But actually, it is the truth. So the Bible goes on and says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, now, most of you sitting here today wouldn't want somebody to come up and beat you over the head with a stick. You'd rather have them come up and give you some roses, or say a nice thing, or a nice card, give you something. Wouldn't you rather have them do that? I think so. But anyway, going on, we think we know ourselves. And yet, we constantly surprise ourselves. And yet, we constantly, I should say, shock ourselves. Well, what got into me? Why did I ever react like that? And the Bible says, man, know thyself. Easier said than done, methinks. Because if we can't know ourselves, how can we know each other? Now, I know from my own family, my brother and my sisters, well, we were born to the same parents, and yet we are all totally different. That my mother, the windmill's funeral, when they asked me to sum up the total of her life, I said, well, now, hey, it'll be a lot different than Dave or Marge or Connie, what you think of Mom, because it's a totally different point of view that I have. Isn't that true? We were from the same parents, but we grew up together, but we're totally the opposite. You'd think we'd be totally the same, wouldn't you? Oh, there are things that are the same. There are mannerisms, and there are things we pick up off of the person externally. But internally, we are a little world all in our own. We can understand in part about a person, but not in all. And also remember that men in their highest and deepest condition are remarkably, let's say, remarkably secretive. Yeah. Our deepest conditions and our very deepest conditions, we're very secretive with that. In other words, our extremes lie in darkness that only the light and the Holy Spirit can reveal a piece at a time. The puzzle, the changing, the renewing, and all of that is done by the Holy Ghost. See, we only show our ordinary life, Father knows best type of thing. You know what I mean? What you see on TV. Remember them old programs, Father Knows Best, and then they had this doctor show, and the families, they just got along so beautiful. Well, they had a few trials, but Dad always came to the rescue. And oh, Bud. How many times have I told you not to mix the paint in the bathtub? Have you learned a lesson, Bud? You have frustrated your mother. Not real, is it? But that's what we go by. Inside there's a roaring, raising up, Bud, you nitwit. You are the dumbest boy living. Take after Father Knows Best. He doesn't know anything, you know, that kind of thing. We only show our ordinary life. Well, I expose myself up here a lot of times. Why? How is anybody else going to get free? I mean, our deepest griefs, we show no one. Grief that I think babbles is a shallow brook. Someone that's always talking about their grief. Oh, grief. Good grief. There's no good grief. Oh, and then this happened and that happened. I give up. I totally hate. My arms hang limp, my knees are feeble, weak. Oh, hey, forget it. I think that's a very shallow, shallow person. But I think we need to be built up in the faith, and we need to go ahead, and a lot of times you'll find people that have real deep griefs, they bury them. They're extremes, and they need to somehow get rid of that grief. You don't get rid of it by talking about it all the time. You by giving your life, give it over, and that's a good grief. Because the silent sorrow, believe me, I think it flows noiselessly. Because great grief can become deaf and dumb and numb in its senses. And you can grieve over and over, and about the time you think you got licked, and you're grieving over and over and over and over and over again. But you know what? It's the same with extreme joy, isn't it? It's yours alone. Do you ever have extreme joy? I mean, you're extreme in your joy. You just don't know what to do with it. I mean, you're so full of joy, man, you don't know what to do with it. I mean, you just jump. I remember when I was a kid, when I'd get full of joy. Well, then I'd run. Where are you going to? I don't know. And I would run up the alley. We lived in between apartment buildings. And I'd get up there, and I'd just feel like Superman. So I'd throw on a cape, you know, jump across the buildings. And, oh, man, I just had this joy. And then, you know, I'd get mixed up in my parts, and I'd have guns on my side and a cowboy hat and a cape. So full of so much joy, I could not contain it. Well, what you so happy about? I don't know. Well, you're sort of a dumb kid. Don't you know why? Well, I don't know. But that's just like that. It's just a simple joy of a little kid like that. And I'd run and I'd go across the falls there, and they had these rapids, and my mother knew I was over there, or she'd have a fit. And I'd run the trestles with the kids, and, well, here comes the train. Last one's a donkey, and the train is coming down there. Woo! So years ago when they had them old ones. And we get on the trestle, and there was a down in there, and at first I was afraid. I looked down, the water was running, and man, it was way up there, and here's this train coming. But you lose your fear of looking down and crossing when there's a bigger one coming at you. So I'd take off, and we'd run, we'd get to the other side, and we'd lay there, and we'd just sort of have a fearful laugh. Oh, man, wasn't that great. And the old swimming hole, that joy, me and my friends, there was Skippy and Frosty and Nifty, that was my name. All of us, we had our times, and Skippy and all of us, we'd have our times, and we'd all go down there, and then we'd just had joy. Didn't have to do anything special. We just had it. We're just walking around full of joy. But each one of us that had that joy, we couldn't explain it to someone else. Well, why do you feel? Now, let's examine why you have this joy. Explain it. And let's take it apart and find out what the ingredient is. No one can intermeddle with your joy. Can't be done. It's sort of like a burp, you know what I mean? It builds up and then it explodes. You don't know where it came from, but all of a sudden it's there. And you can't explain it or completely describe it or share it. Well, you say, okay then. But knowing this, how can we use what you've said? Well, I think number one, we learn that we can't judge our brothers and our sisters. That's what we learn about the whole thing here. Like we understand them and could give them a reliable verdict about them, I think that's impossible. Well, in looking your life over, I have come to the total summation that this is what you need. Here's a list. Take it home and live that way, and you're going to live a happy, long life. No. See, because you got to be inside of that person. That's be like sitting down like Job's friends, wouldn't it? Well, you must have displeased God. That's why you're in such a fix. You must have been a hypocrite all along. I suspected it. I knew it. I told my wife, Emma. Yeah, she wouldn't listen. But hey, I was right after all, Job. Yeah, See, because many times we are half-informed, aren't we? Even the low, say, innocent until the law. Let's talk about the law here. The law says to this lowly person that's there before the judge, they don't even judge him yet. No, they have to have a verdict. They have to be, innocent or guilty, but they have to examine the case first. God says, judge not that ye not be judged. Don't judge the people of sorrow. Don't be too hasty and say, be more brave. You know what the word says? Stand on it. You know God is able. Exhibit more faith. That's it. Goodbye. Don't sit and ask somebody, why are you so nervous? Well, people are ignorant sometimes. Seeing this guy, and he was shaking life like a leaf. And the guy had to come up and had to confront him and say, look at you shake. Why are you so nervous in front of a bunch of people? And I said, well, he ain't nervous. He's just quick like I am. So you just quick. You got to kind of just slide it over, see. Why are you so absurdly fearful? What's the basis of your fear? I mean, why? I mean, I just don't understand. Of course you don't. See, you can't possibly know what is going on in this person. And next, if you want to show sympathy, don't ever think that it's a simple task. Don't get the idea that you're an expert on showing sympathy. Don't have certain things to say. No, I thought how valuable our experiences are. For in part we can identify through the experience that we've had. Here we have Jesus that says that identified with sinners. He took on their sin and our sin. He had an experience. And that's, I believe, why he is so effectively and effective in his sympathy. He gave himself, it says. He associated. A lot of times we don't want to associate with certain people. Have you ever had someone try to sympathize with you who never had an ache or pain? Who never had a smoking habit? Who has never had a drinking problem? Well, quit. Simple. Quit. Put the bottle down. Break it. Crash. Step on your cigarettes. Grind them in the floor. I used to go to meetings where everybody, by faith, they would throw all their cigarettes on the stage. You know what I mean? I thought, well, that janitor is going to have a job here. You know what I mean? He'll probably die. Maybe, but what's going to happen if he's a smoker? I mean, you know he's going to die trying to... Well, that's what actually I thought. I thought, well, you know, they get them to throw all that up there, and now they're in a wild frenzy, and they throw all that up there. You know, I mean, it should be an individual decision. Maybe it is. Maybe it works. I don't know. But I think sometimes we got things down, then if you see the person going out, and he gets outside, and he looks all over, now he's really guilty. Now the law is after him. And he goes outside, and every siren that goes off, woo! Puts his cigarettes back in his pocket. Really, that's the truth. And now he's guilt-ridden with this thing. Now what am I going to do? As he dashes behind a building. And inevitably and always, someone comes up that knows, what are you doing back here? You're smoking. Oh, it's okay. It's all right. I understand. Oh, do you? You see what I mean? And we don't allow the person the privilege of being an individual. This is an individual, beautiful person right here. I mean, God only made one person like him. No prob. And every time that I think of this beautiful brother, I think of him saying, no prob. Not one like him, and not one like Corey. See, they're individuals. But then we have people that come out of these homes where, oh my. Whew. Huh? They come out of these homes where everything is fine. Oh, I was brought up in a clean home. You could eat off of the floor. Well, that's great. Could eat off our floor, too, if you didn't mind a little dirt mixed with it. Dust balls the size of the tumbleweeds that flow through South Dakota. Born in church. Grandma, grandpa, all the way down the line, way back. Puritan. Know how they can preach to others. And oh, how they relive things. Oh, Mom always did things just right. Bun in the back of the head, you know, Betty Crocker. Meals on the table right on time. My mother never cooked. My dad did all the cooking. And she always looked so clean and fresh. And I remember her cheeks, they were just rosy red, and oh, golly, wow. She never swore, and she never smoked, and she never drank, and she never chased. My dad was the same. Never went any place without his Bible. And I say, well, that's beautiful. And then there's the man that grew up in the home where there was drinking and smoking and hate and filth and beatings and sexual abuse and swearing. And these people won't understand this Puritan any more than the Puritan will understand them. And that's why people are like they are. They're down and they're lost and they're depressed and they're hateful and they're murderers. See, we all need someone like Jesus who had our experiences from A to Z. The only one that really understands. Because many trials and many tribulations and sorrows, which we all have experienced by Christians, are sent as an education in the art of sympathy. Now you can sympathize with someone. once that you've been delivered. What you have not experienced, you can no way minister to other people unless you've had an experience. And that's why God right now in this end age is calling experts, the castaways and the low-based perverted things of the world to confound the wise.